Harbor Church, we are a family of God, bound together to glorify and enjoy Him forever. This podcast series is a safe way to answer the questions that you, our community, has concerning the Bible, its tenets, and any other theological questions or concerns that you have come across as you join Harbor in our mission here in Mooresville and dig deeper into God's message, study His mission here on earth, or ponder your place in His wonderful plan. Thank you for dropping your anchor with HarborCast as we look forward to bringing light to these questions, big and small.
Welcome to HarborCast, the official podcast of Harbor Church PCA in Mooresville, North Carolina. Glad you're with us today. Pastor Michael Colvard, Pastor Tyler Spry here. And kind of an interesting one today. The question is, does God recognize denominations? So I kind of take this question to mean something along the lines of, does God care about denominational distinctives, right? Or maybe to put it another way, is God pleased with the fact that there are like a bajillion denominations in the United States, or is He not pleased? Let me just start off by trying to get a good definition of, Tyler, what in the world is a denomination? Like, how would you define it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not very well-spoken or well-written, so I'm going to steal a definition from an American church historian named Sidney Mead. It's almost like a math formula, so you might like this.
I like fake math. Yeah, I like fake math. Not real math, but fake math, yeah.
So here's Mead's definition. Theological conviction plus religious liberty equals denomination. So what he's getting at here is that we have theological convictions, things that we believe the Bible says, that we believe is the best and the true way to function as a church. And that's our theological convictions. But we also recognize that there are religious liberties or Christian liberties that we have, and those things can sometimes draw dividing lines. And that's how we get the divisions of our different denominations. We believe different things in areas that aren't many times central to the core of our Christian faith. And so we draw boundaries and we operate in those boundaries.
Yeah, I think that's a really good starting place. I think especially what you say about there's the fundamental core, right? There's some core principles that are so clear in scripture that to ignore them or to disagree with them would put you basically in a different religion at that point. Something like there's only one God. That's why Mormons are not a Christian denomination, because they would believe that everybody or possibly could become a God. There are multiple gods. The idea that Jesus is God and that He died for our sins. That's why Jehovah's Witnesses aren't a Christian denomination. They're a sort of maybe Christian-inspired set. Maybe you could say it that way. So there's a core, but there are also things in which the Bible instructs us about. Now, the Bible's clear. I think the Bible's clear. Nothing wrong with the Bible. But we as human beings, we're not always so clear in our thinking. And so there are going to be times when we might, some group of well-meaning Christians may see an issue one way, and some well-meaning Christians are going to see it another way. They're both trying to read the Bible well, even though they've come to different conclusions. What are maybe some examples of some of those differences, Tyler?
Well, one that you probably think of right away is baptism.
That's a big one around here, yeah.
And the Christian church believes in baptism.
Right.
If you don't believe in baptism, there's a problem.
That's a problem.
But how do you baptize?
And what does it mean to baptize?
And who do you baptize? And so those are one of the, you know, that's one of the clearest examples. Maybe another one is, how do you structure the government of the church? Is the church elder-led? Is the church congregation led? Those aren't necessarily matters of eternity, as far as entrance into heaven,
right?
But those are matters that matter,
right? And they're all trying to do the hard work of things like leaders leading the church, of members submitting to leaders, those sorts of things, practicing church discipline. Those are core things. But good Christians are going to disagree on how much weight does like a general assembly of all the churches coming together, how much weight does that have? If you're a Southern Baptist, that's a convention. They're just giving you guidelines. If you're a Presbyterian, it's a general assembly. It's got more weight to it. Yeah. And the fact is that while there can be some schisms within the church that are unrighteous, like a church splitting over maybe worship or music style or personalities traits or things like that. But the Bible does say that there should be divisions at times to make sure that we know who the Christians are, who are not. So 1 Corinthians 11 says that when you come together as a church, I hear their divisions among you, and I believe it in part. He's not saying it's all good, but he says in part, I believe it, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. And so there are denominations that bear the name Presbyterian, and we are Presbyterian because we have a similar views on church government. But on some of the core tenets, I would say that they've strayed so far as to almost be another religion.
Yeah. I agree. So let me ask you a question, Michael.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have one church?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
Well, we do. We do. But most of the time when people talk about that, or sometimes I have Roman Catholic friends who talk about that, well, we have one unified church. Y'all, you Protestants, you've got all these little groups, which I think is rather hilarious, because if you know anything about Roman Catholicism, you know that there are huge differences between the Jesuits and between the Benedictines and between all the different factions. I mean, just ask if you have a Catholic friend and they're kind of in the know, ask them their opinion of the current Pope, and you will see some giant divisions within that particular church. What I would say is that what makes us one church, and it's why we can say with the creeds, we're one holy Catholic and apostolic church, little c Catholic, not big C Roman Catholic, but little c, meaning that one universal church, is because we all hold to the same fundamentals. When Jesus tells Peter, after Peter confesses, "You are the Christ," Jesus says, "You're right, Peter, and upon this rock," or this little rock, this confession, "I will build my church." What builds Christ's church is the faith and the confession, not the structure. Because that's what a lot of people tend to think of is, well, in order for there to be one church, we all have to have, I don't know, the same governing body or the same constitution. That's not actually how I think the Bible sees Catholicity. It's based on those core fundamental beliefs. So that's why you could have you could have an Episcopal church that we could have fellowship with, and you can have another Episcopal church that we would not want to have fellowship with at all, because one agrees with core fundamentals, one does not. Yeah, so that's a great question.
So would you say then that it's actually a good thing for us to have denominations?
Yeah, I think so. As long as I think we keep a couple things in mind. We've got to know the fundamentals, so we got to be really clear about that. The second is that because of those fundamentals, we ought to play nicely with others, if that makes sense. I mean, in my own personal life as a pastor, I'm a part of a pastor's network here in Morrisville, and it's a non-denominational pastor's network. So we've got Baptists there, we've got Presbyterians from other denominations, all over, like different spectrum. And the reason why I'm a part of that, besides I like hanging out with pastors and I need a safe place where I can pray with brothers and talk about, you know, hard things, is that I want my congregation to know, and I want other congregations to know that, hey, we're all on the same team. We're on Team Jesus. But I would say that denominations are helpful because there are going to be times when somebody has such a strong conviction about something that it would frustrate them if the church was practicing something else. Even our own Book to Church order in the preliminary principles, it refers to, men of godly character can disagree about those things. So denominations are a way for you to gather around like-minded individuals without declaring everybody else to be a heretic. And there have been times at Harbor where somebody has come, usually it's baptism, where they come to Harbor, they love the people. I remember one particular family a long time ago who they got through the whole new members class and they said, we can't sin under preaching. That's going to tell our kids that infant baptism is okay because we can't be here because of that. And we're like, that's okay. Like, here's a couple places you could go. And there are other people who would come and say, I have this personal conviction about baptism, and I don't agree with the PC on this particular issue, but I'm willing to sit under it. I'm willing to listen, or it doesn't bother me a whole lot. And so I think denominations are a way of balancing out strong convictions without throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Well, and if you tease that out just a little bit, you quickly realize just how much chaos there would be if there wasn't denominational distinctives. You know, if you gathered up all the Christians in Mooresville, put them in one church as one building, and then they said, okay, today we're going to baptize baby Jeremiah,
right?
You would have people standing up who say, that's not right.
Right.
We only baptize professing believers. And they would feel very strongly about that. And within a matter of 5 minutes, the whole church would be in chaos. The whole town would be in chaos. And so we have our denominations where we gather with like-minded believers. And God is a God of order. And so he's not a God that appreciates chaos in right. his worship.
Right. Well, and to your point there too, okay, so if you say, all right, we don't do that, then all the infant baptizing denominations would be upset. And if you said, well, we're just going to do both. We're just going to let, because I've seen that in some bigger evangelical churches, we're going to practice both. Well, I'm upset with that because I think there's only one way,
right.
not both ways. and I don't think it's just up to your individual choice, right? There is biblical warrant for this. So, you know, even trying to do both, like what you can't do is you can't say, we baptize infants because we believe in infant baptism, we baptize adults because we believe in adult only baptism. You can't hold those two things contradictory positions at the same time. So yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It brings peace, and it actually I think encourages the church in its work forward without fighting over every single little thing.
Well, when I know where a church stands, the Baptist or the Methodist church down the street or wherever they're at, if they're preaching the gospel, I can look at them and I can even be encouraged and see what they're doing. And in humility, I can say, you know what? That Baptist church down the street, they've really got something going on with evangelism.
Right.
Maybe I can look at that and learn from them because I know where they're at. I don't have to fight with them about baptism.
Right.
They're in their Baptist church and we're in our Presbyterian church, and I can look at them and say, what can I learn from them? What, how can I be encouraged by this brother or this sister?
Yeah, I think God is honored in that. God is honored when we're able to lay down our differences and, for a time and to appreciate where the gospel is leading. I also think it's true as well. One of my systematic theology professors at Covenant Seminary, he used to say that we're saved in spite of our theology. And in that, I think what he meant to say was, every denomination is going to get something wrong. Every church is going to get something wrong. Every pastor, myself included, is going to get something wrong, right? There's no way for us to have a church that is going to be without error. And I think that all of us are going to find at some point down the road when we are brought into glory, oh yeah, we were kind of wrong about that.
Yeah.
We were right about that. Denominations give the latitude and liberty to be able to, like you said, go with our convictions, and yet hold strong to those fundamentals that bind us together.
In heaven, there's not going to be a Baptist section, a Presbyterian section, an Episcopal section. There's going to be the section for those who believed and trusted in Jesus.
Yes.
And that's it.
And they'll all realize at that moment that they're all Presbyterians at heart. So I just had to leave that in there. If I could just sort of conclude with this, in all that is said, I love being a Presbyterian. I love what Presbyterianism affords. I think the church government is the most biblical. I think that our practices are the most biblical. So I don't want to hear what I'm not saying. But at the same time, I recognize, and we have to recognize in humility, that we don't have the cornerstone either. Let's wrap up with prayer. Would you pray for us, and would you pray for our other denominations or
Yeah,
around here as well?
absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that your church is just bigger than Harbor, and it is even just bigger than the PCA. Lord, we're grateful for our church. We're grateful for the people at Harbor, for pastors and the people in the PCA, and the work and ministry that happens there. But Lord, we're also thankful for our brothers and our sisters in Christ who hold to the fundamentals of Christ and his gospel, but believe different things in secondary issues. Lord, I pray for our hearts, that our hearts will be soft towards believers in other denominations. I pray that believers in other denominations would see great revival and great coming to the gospel. I pray that you would give them success. I pray that you would unify us all around the gospel of Jesus and hope that it brings. And we ask this, Lord, in his name, amen.
Thank you again for dropping your anchor with HarborCast. Please visit us on the web at harborchurch.org for more information about what we believe, what we do to serve our community, and how you can get involved in our mission here in Mooresville. And finally, follow HarborCast wherever you listen to podcasts. May the Lord continue to equip you to share the good news about Jesus.